guys, this is James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. You're checking out my man David D. Hard Knock Radio. Get your smarts together and check out David D.
Living in these last days and times, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind, living in the future. Living in these last days and times, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind, living in the future.
I got Armageddon weaponry like the seven seal. Y'all wasting me sound waves that you feel. Hailing fire, a burning mountain is on. And one line, a third of earth and waters are gone. Check my vocal, more hotter than sun in Acapulco. Worm and iniquity splitter, make rivers get bitter. I spit a star into space and smite the moon and sun. How many worthy of heaven? No, not one. Throw the devil in the bottomless pit, judgment begin. Angels from the Euphrates kill a third of his men. Then I change form, busting in abnormal type tactics. Flipping styles like acrobatics, so who can do what he do? Flip a style of street tool with more fat, formless techniques than T2. See through fallacy with my x-ray vision. Wrecking raps inside my derby like demolition. Style switching vision. My brain splitting atoms in the track. I'm beyond critical mass, feel the lyrical blast. It's the POW in the lyric food jacket. My quicker spray, you can shake your racket out my bracket. From the attic of the boogie monster shack. It's a revolutionary black hole's unknown attack. Bring it back.
Living in these last days and time, check yourself. And what you feed your mind, I know you can't be blind, living in the future. Living in these last days and times, check yourself. And what you feed your mind, I know you can't be blind, living in the future.
Check it out, black. Bridges roll black until my folks are sound silly. But this lockdown straight from Rhode Island to Philly as the crackdown begins. Intensity reaches to the maximum and you really get to see who is your friends. The same sneakers angle from the telephone cable. 5-0 forever patrolling. My neighborhood is never stable these days. This appears to be a concentration camp, eliminating welfare and still fishing for a victim. Cause from 200 down to 95th Street is all blackly populated. Then go further downtown. It ain't debated who inhabitates the rest. Come on, we segregated, but that's right. Somebody's coming like a thief. In the night, the police state technique is the practice on the cattle on the humble for that worldwide battle. And it's when I feel it's yo domingo, slide the faders on the face, and I'ma lay it all out in their face. Most of the presidents was Masons, but one thing of mine, to keep it in the family, they must eliminate the swine, and the swine is up. And whose God do you trust? It's getting real about a second in the future.
Living in these last days and time, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind, living in the future. Living in these last days and times, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind, living in the future. Living in these last days and times, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind, living in the future.
94.1 KTFA Hard Knock Radio. And yeah, we're living in the last days. A lot of people seem to be in agreement on that. So you might want to get your mind right, just like the Boogie Monsters say. That's the name of the group that did that particular song. And we're going to continue our discussion. We're going to try to make the most of these last days. Maybe even turn it around, postpone it for a little while. And we're going to kick that off by talking with a man, Steve Coakley. He's been on here before, always breaking down a lot of science to us about secret societies and the way that they intersect with our day-to-day life and have an impact. We also have on our phone lines Peter Phillips, another good friend from Sonoma State. He's the man behind Project Censored, one of those key individuals in the country that heads a program that unearthed a lot of the things that, unfortunately, a lot of folks in power, folks who own these big corporations, try to keep hidden from us. But due to their hard work, they bring all that to the light so we can at least... you know, strategize properly. Before we get into this conversation, I want to remind you that we are in the second day of the Hip Hop Film Festival. That's right. The big film festival is taking place at the Black Box Theater. It started last night. Big shout out to Kevin Epps and all those guys for putting it on. They will continue all the way through the 17th. If you need more information, go to Hip Hop Film Fest, hiphopfilmfest.com. or head on down to the Black Box this evening, 928 Telegraph Avenue, and check out all the things that they have to offer. Meantime, let's get back to our conversation with Steve Coakley and Peter Phillips. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Davey.
And Steve, how you doing?
I'm Brother Davey, and how you doing, Peter?
Okay, Peter, could you hear him clear?
Yeah, I hear Steve fine.
Okay, great. Let me just start off. This seems to be a little gathering that's getting ready to take place up in Sonoma State. It's the Bohemian Grove, and it's something that's put on by the Bohemian Club. It's an annual gathering that's been taking place since, what, like the 1800s or something like that? And maybe you can further illuminate our listeners what the significance of this, Peter, is, this Bohemian thing that's going on up in your part of the Bay Area.
Well, we're in the middle weekend of the Bohemian Grove summer encampment. There's probably 2,000 to 3,000 men up in the Redwoods near Monte Rio on the Russian River.
Mm-hmm.
They have a private estate up there, about 2,700 acres of old growth redwoods and what is second growth pine trees and that. They've owned that land since 1899 was the first year they actually leased it and then bought it later. But they've been camping up in the redwoods since the late 1870s.
Right. So what's the... Why do some people find it problematic? I mean, what's wrong with a group of guys getting together, going up on a little camping trip? I mean, it's a beautiful country up there. Why not do it? Why should we be concerned?
Well, this little camp out is some of the most powerful people in the world. And they're top corporate executives, CEOs, government officials. George Bush is rumored to be there this weekend. He's a member. All the presidents going back, the Republican presidents going back to Herbert Hoover have been members. Gerald Ford will probably be there this weekend. Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, Caspar Weinberger, a lot of people in the Reagan administration. Reagan is still a member, although he doesn't go. Richard Nixon was a member. And high level, one out of five people there is somebody in a major policy decision-making position or runs a major top 1,000 corporation in the U.S.
Wow, they're all going to be up in Sonoma County?
They're all hanging out in Sonoma County. It's kind of like a fraternity party. Lots of bars, lots of good food, and all men.
Hmm. So this is where the deals or some of the deals get cut. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, they have a motto that says, weaving spiders do not enter. They're not supposed to sit and do business deals.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't in an open way.
Right.
They talk a lot of politics. There's high-level political discussions and talks on a daily basis, what are called lakeside chats. So Kissinger may speak on the Middle East, or Bush may speak, or an undersecretary of defense may speak. And so it's kind of cutting edge, what's happening, what our policies are, what the directions we're going. It's all off the record. So press is not allowed. These speeches are not publicized.
Mm.
And so it's a place for conversation, for enjoyment, for self-entertainment, for celebration, literally celebration of elitism.
Wow. So, you know, let me ask you, is this something that normally gets covered? I mean, I haven't really seen a whole lot of news cameras and people going up there and bringing these big wigs to, you know, to the front of the line, so to speak, and letting everybody know what they're doing and trying to find out what they plan to do.
It's not widely covered at all. There have been protests outside of the Grove going back some 20 years now, often about the various international issues where somebody there that is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
The club itself doesn't set policies. The club itself isn't a political club, but certainly the members and the people there are. And they have some very powerful. It's rumored that Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be walking around there this weekend, and that's to meet bigwigs with money that would be willing to support him for his run for governor.
Wow.
When I ran a Security Exchange Commission's owner stock ownership, so that's just the publicly held stock that the SEC requires people to register. So if you're the director, so just that, which is probably a small percent of the actual stock, was $30 billion in corporate stock in 1991.
Wow. And this is all up there in Sonoma. If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Peter Phillips of Project Censored, talking about the activities that are going on right now up in Sonoma County. The annual Bohemian Grove put on by the Bohemian Club. You know, let me bring in Steve Coakley. Steve, you're familiar with these types of gatherings that go on where men of power, mostly men of power, come together under the auspices of recreation, camping, fraternity.
I think one of the important things we would want the listening community to pick up about the organization is that they perform rituals. They wear robes. They burn skeletons. They shout chants. They get plenty drunk. They're even, in fact, a harem of prostitutes and available women who are outside of the grounds available for them for their usage while they're on retreat. There have been a few blacks who have participated, one in particular, Robert Johnson, who sold his company, BET, to Viacom. He's participated. It's been penetrated over the years by several people. Your professor here has been good at showing the corporate linkages between the people who participate. Other people have put on fake clothes and infiltrated the structure, gone to various programs or videotaped. I, too, have gone to similar programs like the ritual that they do for Skull and Bones at Yale. Knocked on the door, tried to get in the building, watched them have their little April ceremony. These rituals are a part of how you seal the exclusivity of the relationship. The bottom line is that this protection for them is guaranteed, because who would readily allow someone to enjoy the fruits of their supremacy knowingly if the masses of victims knew, they would try to get inside of these type of things.
So should we be concerned about what's going on? I mean, you know, is this something that people listening should be, you know, add to the list of things we need to?
Many of the people at Bohemian Grove are actually involved in other things, like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Exxons, the Mobils, the Texacos. These are the hired hands, the operators, with a few of the owners, the wealthy. And this recreation bonds and builds relationships that allow them not to go outside of their flock. All conflicts are kept within manageable limits. It's this type of playpen activity that allowed them to build that solidarity and not link up with a guy like you or a guy like me, people who are victims who might influence them to change their ways. We're not given access.
Peter, how do you see it? You actually got a chance to attend one of these, I understand, at one point?
I attended in the Spring Jenks in the spring of 1994. I was there for 3.5 days as part of 2 years of research and interviewing hundreds of Bohemians and going through massive numbers of archives. My study was historical, so it was going back the whole 120-year period, but looking at who was there, and Steve's very right. I mean, probably a quarter of the American Enterprise Institute Board of Directors will be there, probably a quarter of the Business Council, the Business Roundtable, the Conference Board, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Bechtel.
Well, these are policy groups, and certainly the Bechtel family is there. Steve and Riley are both members. And but the policy institutes, like the Hoover Institute, the Stanford Research Institute, probably half the members of the board of the Stanford Research Institute belong to the Bohemian Club.
So, you know, you said that these are, you know, that the rule is you don't go there to wheel and deal. But obviously, wheeling and dealing in this country in politics, as I've always been told, is all about relationships. And so you have these relationships, and as Steve Coakley said, you have these bonds being forged. How will we see this type of activity manifest itself either in policy or in just the behavior of some of these individuals who are participating? How will we be able to recognize the outgrowth of this gathering?
A couple of times Vanity Fair has done exposés on it, just a little sidebar, and they, even though business is not to be discussed, many of the new establishment, the Barry Millers and others, have mentioned that this relationship allowed them.
Barry Miller?
He's a USA Network.
Okay.
He is a media predator.
Okay.
He is, and others in this, quote, new establishment have used this to build alliances that have resulted after the meeting resulted in corporate mergers.
Mm-hmm.
And even Robert Johnson, he considers his relationship with Bohemian as how he ended up finding a seller, a buyer for BET.
With Robert Johnson, using him as an example, the former owner of BET, with his association with the Bohemian Club may have influenced the way that he ran BET, where there had been a lot of complaints and criticisms directed towards the network, because it was almost like you have this network that is, that can be this viaduct to the African American community.
Could have powerful news, could have investigative power.
But would never go there.
Fired Bev Smith.
Right, would never go there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk in there with that mindset, or do you develop that when you're there?
And I think the professor would admit there are press who are at the meeting, but they're there as participants. The owners of the press participate in the weekend or the holiday, as they would call it, and so there's this law that one does not speak, or you'll never get to another one of these meetings ever. And the fact that he would sell his corporation rather than build it is very important. The relationship did not allow him to end up with the airlines. I want to remind everybody, when he sold BET to Viacom, Summer Redstone, or Summer Rothstein, as his real name is, when he went to do that, he went to buy an airline to be a minority representative in an airline.
Right.
It went from Democrat to Republican. The Republican senators ridiculed him for coming up there thinking he would just get an airlines because he was black. And now he went out and bought a basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you the same thing, Peter. You know, people that are there, how do we see it manifest themselves? How does this weekend manifest itself in terms of policy, maybe corporate policy, and general behavior?
There's clear advantages to being able to be there and meet the people involved. If you're in business or you're in government or you're in policy making, even if you're a university professor, everything that you would need in terms of power, resources, access to money, who to ask to support a candidate, all those people are all there. And it's that ability to literally meet billionaires and multimillionaires in a couple of days. You could meet, if you systematically wanted to meet someone on the board of directors of the corporate, of about 25% of the corporate 1,000 in a 2 to 3 day period, you could do that.
Mm.
So any of the camps, they're open. You can walk into them. The only camp that has some restrictions is Mandalay Camp, which is where Kissinger is and Ford. Camp, the Hillbillies Camp, is you basically can just walk in it. There, somebody will greet you. They will, ask you, who you're there to see, or else bring you in and introduce you to everybody that's there and give you a drink.
Wow, it's 94.1 KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, also Radio X in Seattle. Talking with Peter Phillips of Project Censored, and also Steve Coakley, community activist, spokesperson, and all-around good guy. Breaks it down for us. What I want to do, gentlemen, is I want to take a musical break, and when I come back, I want to find out from the progressive community, the African-American community that finds itself on the short end of the stick, do we have similar type of gatherings? Do we need these type of things? And if this situation that is taking place at the Bohemian Club results in policies that really leave a lot of us shortchanged, what do we do to turn things around? And, I also want to tie that into the larger discussion that we've been having every week. How can we take some of this information and use it towards our strategy to beat Bush in 2004? So that's a lot on the plate. Let's think about that for a moment. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 510-848-4425. Once again, 510-848-4425, and we'll come back. We'll take your calls right here at 94.1. Your phone calls as we continue our discussion about the Bohemian Club and the upcoming protests and things that are going on around that. So if you want to get in on the conversation, 848-4425 is the number. Before I get you guys to answer the questions that I left you with about do we have similar gatherings in progressive communities, in the African-American community, and what's the solutions, I want to give you all an opportunity to let folks know where some of the activities that you're dealing with. So, Steve, let me start off with you. Steve Coakley, what do you got jumping off where people can get down?
Tonight, they can come out to Luxor Academy at 1060 East 32nd Street, right off of San Pablo. It's a program called The Plan. It's 7:30 to about 9:30, and the plan are 10 strategies that we share with people who would like to counter this centralization of worldwide power. This is a big daddy game, and so tonight at Luxor Academy, there's a small donation, 1060 32nd Street. And I hope everybody comes on out. We've been kicking these Tuesdays. We'll also be there next Tuesday. Pawns link together. That's our strategy, united pawns. We believe that pawns can win the chess game of power, but they need a strategy.
That's true. Yeah, if you ever play chess, you know, pawns can be a dangerous
weapon.
Pawns
can win. They can re-empower themselves. Mm-hmm. So in the mid-game, we figure if we unite our pawns in the beginning of the game, in the mid-game, we'll just trade away the leaders.
Okay.
The bishops, which are the church, white and black, the knights, which are the secret societies, the masons, the skull and bones, the Sigma Pi Phi Boules, and the rooks, which are the crooks, the mafia. No kingdom could be run without underlords. You have overlords, you have to have underlords. And pawns linked together, we can pull this off.
Okay, something to think about. That's tonight at the Luxor Academy. That's 1060 32nd Street. And Peter Phillips from Project Censored, you got some stuff jumping off this Saturday. You want to let everybody know?
Well, there's going to be a Fat Cats Parade and a whole lot of people organizing and assembling in Monte Rio on the Russian River just outside of Bohemian Grove. It's been going on for 20 years now. But this event, they'll have skits and a parade and people dressed up like fat cats, and it'll be a lot of fun. And we expect, several hundred plus people to show up and really engage and let those guys know on the inside that we're aware of who they are and what kinds of policies they support worldwide and how it impacts us.
And that's going on Saturday from 1 to 5 in Montario Beach parking lot, right?
That's right.
Okay, there you have it. Let me get a couple of phone calls, and then we'll get to some of these questions. Let's kick off with Jonah out of Oakland. How you doing?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for putting me on. I want to say your guests are great. It's wonderful to hear that someone's trying to do something, that people aren't just complaining. It's not anti-everything, and that's really great to hear. But what I want to say about the Bohemian Grove is that it's so dangerous to have that kind of power concentrated in one place, and even more dangerous to have it be secret and underground and not have anyone know about it. But then it's obvious that if all these people are here and they're discussing world policy, then they have obviously common goals, and they're working towards the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the chess analogy of it, because that's what, the rooks, the knights, the bishops, they work towards the same things, and sometimes they ignore the pawns, and sometimes not.
Well, I appreciate that. I have a question for you, Peter, and maybe, Steve, you would also know. We mentioned a lot of corporate heads. We talked about a lot of influential people. But what about on the religious tip? And I got to ask that, considering there's a religious fervor that is underscoring a lot of the policy that exists right now. Some of it is really driven by certain beliefs and certain principles that are rooted in certain, some interpretations of religious doctrine. So if you were to go to this Bohemian Grove Festival, will you find heads of various denominations up there? And Peter, let me ask you, because you've been there, did you see it? A pope up there, or, a few reverends or anything like that?
It's pretty much a secular.
Okay.
I have, going through the lists, I have not come across any affiliation with any church in any way. Nobody's talking about church. They don't talk about God. It's pretty much secular.
They talk about the owl.
There's the... There is the ceremony, the cremation of care ceremony,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the most infamous ceremony they have.
It's almost satanic.
They have a giant owl, concrete owl, that's on by the lake, right by where the symphony plays. And the cremation of cares, the burning of an effigy of care, it's a skeleton, comes across the lake and then is burnt. There's a symbolic exchange of the fire's blown out because care says that you can't you know, destroy dull care, and then ultimately they burn the effigy, and then there's men in robes. And
you know what's key about that? It's not any different, Professor, than what the Klan does when it gets together. It puts on robes. It burns stuff. They got crosses. Remember those metal crosses?
So does the Catholic Church.
Yeah, you
I
go.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, so do the Masons. I mean...
There you go.
You know, it's men's groups throughout history, and women's groups too, for in various, you know, various societies, have they organize, they celebrate what's important to them.
Let me ask you this: the reason why I brought up the question about religion, because so often in conversation that is put forth front and center, you know, the John Ashcroft of the world, make no mistake that they're rooted in this. And if you are religious, and you coming, you know, at least from a Christian perspective, you know, being Christian myself, you know, that is supposed to always be front and center. You know, I know when I've gone out on hikes and stuff like that, you know, in the past with groups, you know, that's one of the that's always a front and center thing. Does it seem strange? Am I reading too much into it to see that there's a very distinct absence of religious people, the Billy Grahams of the world, folks who are very much a part of their day-to-day activities when they're setting policy in motion, to not be there this weekend, and what should be made of that?
Well, the Bohemian Club's in the tradition of an English gentleman's club, and for 400 years, English gentlemen's clubs were the power elites of Britain, and they had clubs all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and they were celebrating patriarchy, racism, and ethnocentrism, and each, you know, and each club was that, and that's the tradition that the Bohemian Club came from.
Okay,
and they're still patriarchal in the sense they refuse to allow women to join, and they fought that. I mean, they fought a battle all the way to the state Supreme Court not to even have to hire women, but the court ruled that women had the right to employment over men's private associations.
Okay. So you were going to say something?
And you can even take that woman struggle over the Skull and Bones where women sued. Buckley himself got involved in the suit.
William F. Buckley?
Yeah, got involved in preventing women from joining Skull and Bones at Yale in 91, which eventually they did. They're only 15 members per year. I think what you're talking about in terms of this religion is that God is the money. God is the money for these people. They don't look to these religious leaders for inspiration when they're dominating countries, using colonial techniques, invading them with false excuses. They're not looking for any religious leadership other than when it's to justify what has been done.
Okay.
You know, Nixon used to keep Billy Graham outside of his office. Billy Graham was as racially motivated as any white man in any business. He spoke against Jewish people. He spoke against black people. The God of these people are not the God of great African people. Where's the difference in this perception of what a God does? We are God-loving people.
Well, what about Robert Johnson? Is this an adaptation of something?
Well, Robert Johnson is in a black male secret society that does have religious leaders in it when it meets. A professor in our community, like there aren't many blacks at the Bohemian Grove, well, in our community there's something called the Boule. B-O-U-L-E. It's a Greek thing, Sigma Pi Phi. They consider themselves advisors to the king. Now, they got a big 100th anniversary coming up in Philadelphia in June of 2004. We're all going to be there, June 26th to the 30th. We're all going to Philadelphia. Finally, the poor are going to meet the rich within the black community. But there is black religious leadership there. The owners of the major black corporations, including Earl Grey's and Black Enterprise, John Johnson of Ebony Jet, and all the rest. Our corporate leaders, our hair care makers, Soft Sheen, Contrail, they're all there. This is the black establishment. They have rituals. They wear robes. They do stuff.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
this clandestine group, which is 100 years old, has primarily taken it their responsibility to be a guardian animal. They have, in fact, made a relationship with what Carol Quigley called the Rhodes Rothschild Secret Society. Elaine Locke, the first black Rhodes scholar, was a part of a ceremonial relationship where the rich and the powerful recognized these Boule men as their talented temp. Du Bois and Carter G. Woodson, Daniel Hale Williams, all the way through our relationships. Even right now here in Oakland, there's a chapter.
Something to think about there. Let's go take some more calls. Try to keep you on hold. Peter out of Point Richmond, what's happening?
Hey, I'm just enjoying the talk this afternoon. I wonder what your opinions are with the notion that these people who are meeting up in Bohemian Grove, who fancy themselves to be advisors to the king and the president-elect himself, have a kind of advantage over the progressives in that they have an ability to define who the enemy is in any given circumstance. And lately they've gotten to taking to defining the Iraqis and the Afghanis and others as enemies.
Yeah, well, and more domestically, they define people who, quote-unquote, protest as enemies.
Right.
You know, progressives,
paper.
Progressives are enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, now we have the whole switch. You're a traitor if you happen to have progressive thoughts. So.
And they're being blocked from airplanes. They're being blocked from moving around the country effectively. And what he said is very significant. Who are the enemies of the victims in America? That's one of the things we talk about in the plan, having a plebiscite of who are we against and another plebiscite for what are we for. And we'll find commonality. Poor African people, poor white people, poor Latin people might find commonality in exploitation. There has to be conversation. The fact that we're getting to converse across ethnic lines right here today on this radio station gives that a chance.
Yeah, something to think about. Let's take another call. Jennifer out of San Fran. What's happening?
Hi. I grew up in Berkeley, and I went to Berkeley High School. I was fortunate enough to study dance under Anissa Rashid.
Mm-hmm.
I went on to study at Cal, and part of my experience, I started to be a topless dancer in order to, you know, pay the bills while I was getting my education. And as a result of that, you know, I've misdirected a lot of my energy, and I think that it's really crucial for in order for women to emerge into the kinds of roles where we can use our brains and be respected for our thoughts and ideas and just be respected and safe in this world, it's important for, you know, people not to participate. You said that at these Bohemian Grove things, there's prostitutes there for these people to use and stuff. And you know, in order to empower yourself, I think as women, it's your responsibility, regardless of how much money there is there to be had. You know, there's just far too many spiritual sacrifices that you have to make to participate with that kind of misdirected energy.
Okay.
And women need to learn how to deserve the love that they get.
Okay.
And not be able to pay for it.
I appreciate that. You know, thank you very much for that. Let me get another call there. Caller, you're on Hard Knock Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Drew Hood out of Berkeley Marina.
What's up, Drew?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, check this out. I just discovered your station about a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like what you guys say. But now let me touch on the subject of Robert Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the brother made the comment that Robert Johnson sold his BT to Viacom or whatever the case might be. But you got to realize that in his era coming up as a, well, excuse the expression, OG, he did what he had to do for business. It doesn't matter about religion anymore. These days, all religion, when it all comes down to it, is going to ball up in one ball, and we're going to all be judged as one. There's multiple religions out here. There's multiple cultures out here, whatever the case might be. But he's done great things for the black community. He's put a lot of black communities on the map, as well as a lot of the sororities and everything that's out here. When you're a black man, you still got to answer to one person. And when you're dealing in the business and the corporate world, which I'm in, you still got to answer to one person.
I think David D. said it best earlier. In a Christian's life, you first answer to God.
Yeah.
And through that, you then perform other activities under that influence. Well, what you're trying to get us to accept that you have the right to bend your butt down to Big Daddy, take whatever he give you, and walk out and call it good for the people.
Oh, couldn't said it better. Anything you want to add to some of the comments that you've heard, Peter?
Well, I think one thing about the Bohemians is that we need to recognize, one, that 4 out of 5 of the people up there are sort of ordinary rich white guys from the San Francisco, California area. They may own a chain of hardware stores in the Central Valley, something like that, but they're not big policymakers. Mm-hmm. But what is important to recognize is that 1 out of 5 out there are somebody in a major power position. That is, that they either control billions and billions of dollars of assets, or they have government positions, or they run the military, or they're making decisions that influence government and millions of people's lives. That's what power is. That's what power is about. It's the ability to control and influence the lives of others.
Let me ask you this. It's in California, and we are going through one of the worst economic crises in the country, state of California. Mm-hmm. If you have a large number of people here, are they able to hobnob or, you know, use some of that influence to flip the script, so to speak? And the second question would be, would this whole recall that's taking place and maybe setting up a new power structure and also a new precedent that might be set in terms of how we react to who's in office, whether we like them or not, let's do this whole recall, and there will be a strategy and a template that people can follow. Do you think that that's going to be influenced, or are the strategy that's already out there enhanced at this Bohemian thing? I'll start with you, Peter, on that.
Well, I think that the governor's recall measure, the potential recall, the things that are happening around Bush, will be widely discussed, particularly the California recall, because that looks like it's a reality. It looks like we're going to happen. If Arnold Schwarzenegger is there, I can't verify that. The club won't verify it, but certainly people on the inside have heard rumors that says he's going to be there this weekend. He's really there about that possibility and about that. And there may be other Republican reps there that'll be there as well. We know that there's probably at least 1,000 to 1,200 men from all over the world. Could be Saudi Arabia, could be Mexico, could be the Philippines, leaders, high government or high corporate officials from people all over the world that will be there as guests this weekend. So those guest lists simply aren't available anymore. They keep them very private.
So let me ask, that's interesting to know. So Steve Coakley, let me ask you, the way this could theoretically play out and show up, you have all the people who are in position, and I'm always fond of saying everybody play your position. So if my man Peter is the head of network, Peter, we got a boy here, he's part of the club, might not be said there, but it's going to be implied. So maybe we just won't get the news coverage of the opponent to Schwarzenegger as much as we get the endorsement.
If I was the governor, and this is my state, and they holding that meeting in my state, I'm taking me and my crew up in there. I would be up in there this weekend. Governor Davis should be at the Bohemian Grove saying, this is my country. This is the fifth largest country in the world. It's California. There are more of the Fortune 500 here. There are more of the Forbes 400 richest people here. If I was Gray Davis, I would be up in there because his
Why wouldn't he go? I mean, especially
part
if they
of his
have
problem
all...
is that he doesn't have balls. He's responding to this attack. I want people to understand that the Bush, now remember, if you get California, you're Bush. You want to defeat Bush? If you get California, you won't need to steal Florida. It's very important. They would have never had to steal Florida in the first place if they had already had California. So it's the cornerstone to any Democratic resurrection on the national political level. They have been undermined. This deficit of $38 billion, we had a $10 trillion surplus 2 years ago. We had a $10 trillion surplus, enough money to solve every American domestic problem. Now we have a $6 trillion deficit, and Bush family depends upon crisis creation to force the solutions that are necessary. That's the old Kissinger line. So we're looking at crisis creation. They took over the Oakland schools for $82 million. Chevron Texaco made $1,920,000,000 for 90 days.
Let me ask you this. and this is for both you, Peter, as well as Steve Coakley. Where's the Bill Clintons? Where's the Democrats? Where are the other leaders, so to speak, that are supposed to be on the other side of the coin at these gatherings, or are they part of this gathering? Is this where all these folks meet, whether they're Democrat, Republican, et cetera, et cetera? I would just think that you would have more people who are, quote-unquote, at least supposed to be in power, they would be there. Where's the Jesse Jacksons? Where's Al Sharpton? How come they're not up there, you know, raising, you know, a stink about this? Why are we the only ones talking about it?
Willie Brown spoke there in 93 as a day guest.
So he wouldn't
Earl
protest
Warren
it.
Was a member, a Democrat. Hmm. Pat Brown was a member.
Jerry's
a Democrat. I've never seen any evidence that Jerry's ever been. But he's certainly not a member now. But predominantly it's Republicans. And the Republican presidents, members of cabinet, you know, military. They're clearly it's
so where are
remember when Clinton was in office, his personal friend had that retreat on the East Coast where they were off near
weekend.
Yeah, there you go, on the East Coast off of Jekyll Island out there where they formed the Federal Reserve. There are other similar type of activities where Democrats, even in Wyoming at Jackson Hole, you got another gathering that comes in there. There are other opportunities for them to be above mere politics.
But what you guys have described says that a lot of things can go down that's going to affect the average ordinary person, right? And I'm saying, where are the folks who champion this sort of stuff? How come they, like you said, Gray Davis needs to bring his posse? I'm looking at him going all the way across the list. Where's the posse?
Well, you made a point about Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and others. In our community, unfortunately, when it comes to the rich and the powerful, we have sought to seek accommodations from them through donations. These donations have altered our personality. And where we're faced with the enemies of African people, you get an ExxonMobil grant, and all of a sudden, you're loving Rockefeller when he might be the dominator or the exploiter or underminer of what you're seeking to do.
Mm. Something to think about. And Peter, what about the Ralph Naders of the world and Green Parties and folks like that? How come they're not, or will they be at the protest that you all are putting on?
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Green people there. Ralph Nader, I doubt, will be there. But, you know, these are people that are saying, you know, we recognize where power is, and we're calling attention to power, and we're calling them on the decisions that they're making. And we don't like that they go up there and they're celebrating their elitism. You know, there was a speech I heard, a Lakeside chat, in June 4th, 94, that was given by a UC professor, and it was entitled Violent Weakness, and he was really talking about the decay of our institutions and challenging bisexualism, entertainment politics, multiculturalism, Afrocentrism, loss of family boundaries, and that. And he was saying that elites are important to society, and elites, if they fail to define itself, will fail to survive. We need the boundaries. We need American-centered foreign policy. Hmm. We can't allow the unqualified masses to carry out policy. And that's what he said.
Wow, who is this that made this speech?
I'm not going to say his name.
Come on, now let's name the names, Professor. Now, we'd be a contradiction if we held up the name. Come on, man.
It was off the record. No,
Professor. Now, this is the point. See, that's the problem with the media that goes in there.
The content's what's important here. 2,000 men stood up and cheered.
But yes, but name the one man's name.
Okay,
we'll give him a break. We'll do what they do, and then we'll swear we're against it.
Sociology research, if you say you're not going to name names.
I do the same
I've been
thing.
There. I've been there to humane seminars where exploitation of the people or the marginalization of a democracy was discussed humanely. It didn't make it right.
Okay, let's take another call. Tim, out of, what is this, man?
This is Tim.
Where are you from? Yasmin Bay? Half Moon.
Bay.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, in wrote Yasmin Bay. I was like,
he's excited.
I was like, where's that at, man? What's happening, man?
Well, yeah, interesting discussion. I had a thought. Hocus pocus dominocus.
Look at my day. Hocus pocus dominocus. Hocus pocus dominocus. It's a code word.
Hey, there you go. But I used to study propaganda somewhat professionally, and it's been a hobby just on my own. And I wondered when Clinton was in office how, when he was first in office, there's such a broad-based propaganda that, you know, since it was God, it was so organized. And I wondered where that organization came from. It wasn't any formal group. And then Hillary, good old Hillary, said at one point, there's a vast right-wing conspiracy. And I'm thinking, okay, a group like the Bohemian Club. It's like behind-the-scenes group. And at the upper pinnacles of that, it's all about power to two political parties in this country, the poor and the rich. And it's like, yeah, okay, that might be the real significance of this group. This might be a group which kind of, right, was able to sort of bring about the beginnings of this vast right-wing conspiracy behind the scenes. This is a group just like this.
Something to think about. You know, because we're running out of time, so I don't want to cut you off, but I appreciate that. And he says some good stuff there. Folks, we're running out of time, so let me give you a chance to get last comments. Start off with you, Steve.
One, I would ask everybody to come out tonight to Luxor Academy, 1060 32nd Street, right off of San Pablo, between San Pablo and Linden. We'll be talking about the plan, a strategy against the agents of the New World Order. I hope to talk to you and see you sometime in the future, brother professor.
Okay. And Peter Phillips from Project Censored, again, you got this thing jumping off on Saturday from 1 to 5, Monte Rio Beach at the parking lot. This will be the
come up Highway 101 and take Highway 116 out to Monte Rio. I think it'll be a fun event, and it's a chance to say, you know, to challenge power, to say, we don't like your private associations. Open it up. Make your speeches public. You guys want to meet and have a party, fine. But if you're going to do that kind of policy discussions, we want to know what's being talked about. That should be on the record.
Okay. I want to thank both of you guys for
thank
rolling
you,
through. And we'll be back tomorrow with Hard Knock Radio. This
thank
is David
you,
B. KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and Radio X in Seattle. We out till tomorrow.
I was asked in an interview,
are you coming as a positive influence towards youth?
And I replied, I refuse to get caught up in a negative and positive game. I take the good with the bad, and then sometimes I do a little bit of both. But the difference is, I know how to present myself. If anything, a youth should take an example from me, is that I don't sell my ass for glamour. I'm not commercial, meaning plastic. I'm not a role model, meaning a mask wearer. Am I a positive influence? No. Why would you ask me that? I remember when people like myself were considered communists for their ideals. I remember being pushed behind bleep sounds or blackball because of a word that humanists and racial harmony people couldn't figure out. I remember when funk wasn't accepted, and now you can play, say, or pay your way to stardom, which is such a high influence for so many. And if you recognize me, that's just not my call. Just consider me yin and yang, because the world doesn't want positive influences. They're too deep continuing to praise death and negativity.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come on.
Come on, yeah.
Come on.
Come on. Step out. I feel the rhythm of the gods, I think that's enough said. Terrible birds of noble phrases filling my head. I get down and I spit it to the kick. Ready for the sound and the surge of the ritz with pure funk data. You know that brother will advance to enhance sound wave matters. Directly from the bowels of the verb, making you swerve to the triple sync funk. Up on the downstroke, instruct the center. Cosmic storm and shogun merge and bend up. Brother standing on the verge. When my soul's in the Dead Sea flows than I'll ever need. Like Letterman, I'm switching up the lingo. Context, lyric mandingo. Swinging to the next level groove. The rhythm is flex, is the world of your poo. I come to flip it on up, cause the power beyond the possess and toes up. You know I come to get down with more power to store. I guess it's right about now. It's a Bible Magus. Center of circumference, riders hang tight as we bump this. Travel to the chaos and on back. You know my powers flourish when I hit that boom tap. Now it's time for the score. It's ripped to the tour. It's time for the rhythm on the ones who want more. So I kick it to the west. We're heading to the east. So niggas understand, so my lyrics don't cease. So one funk and lift it, one, two, let's get down. Cosmic motherfuckers, you're rolling earthbound. When I roll through the streets, I be who I be. So if you'll be you, then I'll be me. I'm not the czar or the pope, priest or the man, not the sparkle rap star or the sippy dope man. You won't disrespect, though, which you can't detect. You know what I'm saying? Use your intellect. I got spirits rolling deep. Just let it seep. Enough funk voodoo in the dark sun treatment. I represent enough God sent. When they hand me the device, I leave it quite bent up. Drowning in my tonin smoke. Enter and exit like gorillas and fish. My place in life, treasure while my boat.